Good morning. You ready to praise the Lord this morning? Let's stand together and sing, "For the Lord our God reigns."
Let the earth and heavens rejoice, for the Lord our God reigns. Every child of God lift your voice, for the Lord our God reigns. Jesus Emmanuel, He has set us free. Hope His songs redeemed to tell, for the Lord our God reigns. For the Lord our God reigns. Every heart be filled with delight, for the Lord our God reigns. All the homeless dance with delight, for the Lord our God reigns. Jesus Emmanuel, He has set us free. All the souls we came to tell, for the Lord our God reigns. For the Lord our God reigns. Jesus Emmanuel, He has set thank you. trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me. Dying he saved me. And buried he carried my sins far away.
Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to get up this morning and come here to worship you. Lord, help our hearts and our minds to be free to hear your voice this morning. Lord, we come off of Easter. Lord, and I pray that we don't get complacent and get back into the groove of forgetting what the cross is about. Lord, we get in such a mode of just getting things done. Help us to put that away and focus on you, just like we do on Easter. Lord, just be with Brother Carl as he brings the message to this morning, Lord, that we will take something from that you have prepared for us. Allow our hearts to be ready to hear that. Lord, we just lift up all the Sunday school classes that are about to happen here shortly, Lord. Just allow your word to move freely amongst the people that are a part of that. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can be seated. Glad to have the praise team back here for singing with me this morning. Last week, someone told me, "Can't we really appreciate what you're doing, but we sure like when the young people are up there." And I thought, it's a lot, but glad that y'all are here today. Let's sing this morning, Anchor.
I have this hope as an anchor for my soul, through every storm, I will hold to you. With endless love, all my fear is swept away. Unchanging One, who was and is to come, your promise sure, you will not let go. There is hope in the promise of the cross. Gave everything.
Can you say that today, that all our hope is in Him? Because of what Jim just mentioned during his prayer. We just went through Easter, the resurrection, we saw that depicted. That's where our hope is. And it's also because of the mighty cross. Let's sing that together, the mighty cross. Why don't we stand together one more time, if you would, before our speaker, Dr. Carl Reese, comes this morning.
On the day that death surrendered to the mighty cross of Jesus Christ, the earth would shake beneath the weight of darkened skies. On His brow, a crown of sorrow.
Thank you for salvation. We thank you for just your amazing grace. We pray that you just bless this day. Bless your word as it goes forth and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Well, good morning on another cold spring day. I think spring needs a new GPS or something. I think it's taken a detour along the way. I'm ready for warm weather. And I understand that it may snow again today. It snowed last Sunday when we were here. It's not supposed to do that this late in the year, although I know it can. Well, it's good to be with you again today. It's an honor always to be able to preach the gospel, to stand in the pulpit somewhere, and you folks treated us so well, so nice last week. We're thrilled to get to be with you again today. And I trust that the word that we bring will be a blessing to your hearts, to your lives, and to the cause of Christ here in this area. As some of you know, my wife and I are retired International Mission Board missionaries. We served in Honduras for most of our missionary career. And I recall the first night that I spent in the rural area of Honduras. It was in a place called Salama de Colon. It was out in banana country, out in the country of banana country. It's Salama de Colon there in Honduras. It was a small village, had no electricity except for a generator in the village cantina, the village bar. And when that generator shut down, it did every night not long after dark. When it shut down, there were no lights, and it was dark. I'm not sure that I had realized how dark it could get after dark. There was no light drifting over from a nearby village. The only light was the light of the moon and the multitude of stars in the night sky. And I think I saw the night sky in a way that I had never seen it before. All of those stars there, more than at least it looked like more than ever before. Brighter than ever before. Just the light of the moon and those stars. And I remember how beautiful it was. I saw the stars and the moon as I had never seen them before. Brighter it seemed. Each one in its place. Each one shining and giving its light from so many millions of miles away. Our text for this morning is the 8th Psalm, Psalm 8. And I think maybe the psalmist is describing that kind of experience. I think maybe he was seeing the night lights as he had never seen them before. And there in Psalm 8, as he views the night sky, he's overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed not just with the beauty and the vastness of what he is seeing, of what he senses, but he's overwhelmed with the greatness of the God who created it. And he can't help but praise his Creator God. He can't help but praise Him for His majesty. Let's read Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants You have ordained praise because of Your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars, which You have set in place, what is man that You are mindful of him? the Son of Man, that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us as we look at it today. I pray, Father, that this word from you will be to our hearts, and help us, Father, to understand how great and majestic you are and who we are before you. Thank you for your word, Father. Bless the reading of it. Bless your message to the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. This Psalm 8, as we read it, is a psalm of praise. It's a praise psalm. But it's also a nature creation psalm. It's also a messianic psalm. All of those are included in the words of Psalm 8. But what I see for us today in this psalm are two great declarations. Two great declarations that will teach us. The first is a declaration of the majesty of Almighty God. How majestic, how awesome, how praiseworthy he is. And the second declaration is a declaration about the glory of man. The glory of man. I want us this morning, when we leave this place, to leave here with a view of God's majesty, but also of man's glory. If I were to title the message this morning, and I have, you know, usually when a preacher says, if I were to title the message today, that means he's got a message that he's going to, a title that he's going to share with you. The title of the message is simply that: God's majesty and man's glory. So let's look at the two of those. Let's begin with God's majesty in those first three verses. And I want to read those three verses again, if you'll allow me to. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. God's majesty is declared in his creation. His majesty is declared, the psalmist says, in the heavens and throughout the earth. Notice that first verse. Lord, O Lord. The psalmist is addressing God directly, and he uses two nouns to do so, two names that he calls God. Lord, O Lord, our Lord. The first Lord is the revealed name of God. It's that name Yahweh, that name that we find in Exodus chapter 3 when God deals with Moses there in the burning bush, and Moses says, who will I tell them has sent me? And God says, tell them I am has sent you. Do you realize that I am, that name Yahweh in the Hebrew, is a very fluid name, a very fluid term. It can be I am who I am, or you can translate it, I will be who I will be. And Lord, I think God, for him, with his name, is saying to Moses, I am who I am, and I will be everything you need me to be every time you need me to be it. It's Yahweh, the ever-present God, the revealed name of God. The second name, second Lord, places emphasis on God's sovereignty. He is the sovereign creator God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, you notice how that says it? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God already was. God is eternal. Before there was a beginning, God was. And the God who was and is created it all. He's the sovereign creator God. O Lord, our Lord, your name. That phrase reveals or refers to the revealed person of God. It encompasses all of God's attributes. In the Old Testament thought, Yahweh's name often represented his very presence. It represented everything that he was and was equal to his being present. When you invoke his name, you invoke the name of the God who is present with us. As a matter of fact, some translators translate that particular portion of the verse this way: O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your presence in all the earth. Your presence is always there. Where can you go and be away from the presence of God? You can't do it. The thought is that God's presence is not limited to any one part of the earth. It's not limited to just any one place, but instead it encompasses all the earth. And the psalmist doesn't stop with just the earth, but he goes on in the next line with an even fuller concept, a fuller thought, by declaring that God's splendor, God's majesty, extends not just in the earth, but even above the heavens. In other words, God's majestic presence fills the entirety of the universe. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 139. Listen to his words there, beginning with verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. In other words, man cannot escape the presence of Almighty God. It's like the old cartoonist. The old cartoonist used to declare, he's everywhere, because he is. He is. He created the universe, and his presence, his majestic presence, fills the earth and extends even to the highest heavens throughout the universe. Just that little verse 2 that almost seems insignificant in all of this says that even the praises of the little children drown out and overcome the naysayers who would try to deny the existence of God. Isn't it interesting that God often chooses what seems to be so small and so weak to overcome what is, to man's eye, apparently strong? But in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus declared that the praises of the little children were a fulfillment of this very verse. Even the little children, their praises will overcome and drown out the naysayers. Man may try to tell us that God does not exist, but everything about us declares their words to be empty and without real meaning. He is the awesome, majestic God. Everything that He's created, everything declares that He is the sovereign God. Again, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:1, and especially that third verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then John wrote, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Colossians 1, verses 15 and 16, in the words of the Apostle Paul, He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is the majestic Creator God. The psalmist repeatedly refers to God and His creative activity and says that His creation declares His majesty. The vastness and the complexity of the universe and all things in it were fashioned by God. And it declares His greatness, His majesty. God did it all. The psalmist says it's the work of His fingers. I love that phrase. I like how the psalmist says that. He talks about all of this. The sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, all of those things. And he says, it's the work of Your fingers. This phrase is what is called an anthropomorphism. Now, I had to figure out a way to get that word into this message. When I saw that, I thought, that's a big word. It's got more than a couple of syllables. If I learn to pronounce it and learn what it means, folks will think I'm pretty intelligent. So it's an, I want you to know that. It's an anthropomorphism. You say, well, what in the world is that? Well, it's a figure of speech that's used to miniaturize the magnitude of something. And in this case, your fingers, speaking of God's fingers, your fingers miniaturizes the magnitude of the universe in comparison to the presence of the Creator God. With His fingers, He's done all of this. Just as His fingers. You know, my hands are not very big, but when I do something, I need both of them, and I need my whole hand. But the idea here is it's just the work of His fingers. Didn't take much. I recall the first time I saw the Orion Nebula. Orion, the constellation named the Hunter, is one of a multitude of constellations in that make up the evening sky. And it's probably my favorite of all, mainly because I can locate it and I can make it out. But I was in an astronomy class at Southwest Missouri State College at the time. That tells you how far back it was. Now Missouri State University. But I was with Professor John Northrup in an astronomy class. I had to take a science class, and that was an interesting one, so I took it. And we got to view the stars, the moon, and so forth. And the Orion Nebula was one that we got to study. The Orion Nebula is one of the brightest of all nebula in the sky. It's visible to the naked eye as it shows itself from a distance of approximately 1,345 light years away. It's estimated to be 24 light years across or wide. Now, for those who might be wondering, a light year is described as the distance light travels in 1 year. And it's equivalent to approximately 6 trillion miles. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but if the calculator was correct, that means that the Orion Nebula is approximately 144 trillion miles wide and is approximately 8 quintillion, 70 quadrillion miles away from the Earth. But it can still be seen from where you and I are. Each star is in its place. Each star shining brightly to be seen from planet Earth. But think how, you know, I can't even imagine those kinds of figures, how big that is. And according to the psalmist, it's the handiwork of God. God made it and so many others like it, just as the work of His fingers. God just took His fingers, fashioned the Orion Nebula and so many others, and just placed each one out there in exactly the right spot. No big deal for God. And God is so much greater than that. The song says, how big is God? How big and wide His vast domain? To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to fill the mighty universe, yet small enough to dwell within my heart. He is an awesome, majestic God, and His presence fills the universe. I recall Dr. Northrop's final words to that university astronomy class in wrapping up a semester's worth of teaching a university-level astronomy class. Dr. Northrop ended with this. After all we have studied, he said, I leave you with these words. In the beginning, God. And with that, the class ended. Nothing more was said. In the beginning, God. It's His handiwork. And the psalmist is overwhelmed with God's majesty. How great, how awesome is the God who could create all of this. And then he asks a question. God, You're so great, so awesome, so majestic. What is man? What is man? What am I? Little, puny, insignificant me. So meaningless. What am I that You would be mindful of me? Such an awesome, majestic God, mindful of little, insignificant me. And as God reminds the psalmist of who man is, it's as if God is saying, insignificant and meaningless you are not. You are anything but insignificant and meaningless. You are God's glory. Now, it's not hard for us to imagine and to declare that God is a majestic God. But it may seem a little strange to hear me say God's majesty and man's glory. But I believe that's what God is saying to the psalmist here. Verses 5 through 8 consistently emphasize the significance or the glory of man. Man who was created in the image and the likeness of God to exercise dominion over the rest of God's creation. Man has been given the honor, as it were, to kind of be a co-ruler with God over his creation. Warren Wiersbe says, instead of being created a little higher than the animals, as some scientists would have us believe, we have been created a little lower than God to enjoy his creation as well as his presence. Verse 5, where it says, you made him, that is man, a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor, is probably better translated, you made him a little lower than God. Many of the translations translate it that way, not all of them, but listen to a few of them. God's Word translation says, you made him a little lower than yourself. You've crowned him with glory and honor. The Holman Christian Standard Bible, you made him little less than God. The Good News translation, yet you made them, that is man or mankind, inferior only to yourself. And there are a number of others, the New Living Translation, yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. Now think about this a minute. Think back to the story of creation, to Genesis, the first two chapters. God created. And the first 5 days, what did God create? Well, he created light. He created the sun and moon. He created land. He all of those things. But God created day after day. And at the end of each day, he looked out and he saw what he had created. And he said, it is good. On the sixth day, God created man. He placed man in the middle of what he had created. We call it the garden. He placed man in the garden. After creating man, then he said, now it is very good. And then God rested. He created for 5 days. And then he created man on the sixth day. And after creating man, he rested. He didn't create anymore. Why? Why did God stop creating? Well, he stopped creating because he was finished. His creation was complete. He had created everything during those first 5 days in preparation for what he was going to create on that sixth day. And he created man. God created everything else, what you and I call nature, for our enjoyment. And he gave us dominion over it. It was for our good and for our enjoyment. It's as if God was saying, I created that for you because you are the climax, you're the crown jewel, you're the crowning glory of my creative activity. I want you to know something. Today I can say to you, I am important to God, and so are you, as well as everybody else. Those who are in the pews this morning, those who are outside on the street, those who stayed home, those who know him through a personal relationship through Jesus Christ, those who are saved, and those who are not. They're all important to God. All important to God because they're part of God's creation. God created man to be in fellowship with his Creator. And in that relationship of fellowship, man finds his real significance. In relationship with his Creator God, man finds his glory, the glory God intended for man. The Westminster Catechism says, our purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. As I look at the creation story, and as I read this psalm and listen to the psalmist, I think I understand that God created everything else for us. Created everything else for us, but He created us for Himself. Now think about that. He created us for Himself. And that's why you and I are so important to God. My friend, you are not insignificant and meaningless. I don't know what the rest of the world might try to tell you, but one thing I do know, and it is this: you have been created by God Himself. You are the climax, the culmination, the crowning achievement, the apex, the crown jewel, the glory of God and His creative activity. He created everything else in preparation for creating you. God made you, and God cares about you. You are on God's mind. You are in God's heart. God wants to fellowship with you. God wants to bless you because you are important to Him. You are the crown glory of His creative activity. Let me point you back again to Psalm 139. Listen to how much you're on the heart and the mind of God. The psalmist says, "You've searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as a light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. The psalmist declares, God, you created me. You know all about me. You're always present around me. You have plans for me, even from before my birth. You care about me. God said to Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, and they're good plans. They're not plans to harm you, but good plans. Plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. God cares about you. You are not insignificant. You are not unimportant. You are not alone. You are the crowning glory of God's creation, and you are important to Him. He cares about you. Now, in closing, I must remind you of this. You are the crowning glory of God's creation. But your glory and mine are dependent upon our majestic God. We find our glory in giving God His glory, in giving God His majesty. And we do that by living for Him, in giving ourselves to Him and His will, the one who created us for His glory. You see, you can never realize your full potential as God's creation. You can never realize that apart from the one who created you for His glory. Apart from a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, you will never be all you can be. It's dependent upon a personal relationship with Him. And that relationship begins with Jesus Christ by placing your faith in Him as your Savior. The question is not so much, what are you to God? But rather is, what is God to you? God is mindful of you. Are you mindful of Him? You are on God's heart. Is God on yours? You're the crowning glory of His creation. Will you give Him His glory, His majesty in your life? He is majestic. His majesty, His name, His presence fills the heavens and the earth. May your prayer and my prayer today be, most holy and majestic God, fill my heart, fill my life, help me to be and to do what you desire, so that your glory might shine through me. Heavenly Father, you are God, and we are not. But you, our majestic God, created us, and you created us to be in relationship with you. Father, the only way we can realize what you have for us is through that relationship. So I pray for each one of us here today. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to begin that relationship through placing their faith in Christ, I pray they'll do it before we leave. If there's someone who needs to renew that relationship with you by an act of recommittal or whatever it might be, I pray they'd do that. Father, maybe someone who needs to place their membership here in this good church because this is where you want them to serve you. Help them to make that decision. Whatever it is, have your way, Father. Let your glory shine through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Jim will be here.
Let's stand together.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. To Thee, my blessed Savior, Jesus, I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all.
When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my light is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, my hand. Lest I fall, let me stand. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Oh, dear Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. That was good. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to learn a new song this morning. It's called No Other Name. So we'll probably be singing it, and y'all can join us whenever you figure it out. It's called No Other Name.
One name holds weight above them all. His fame outlasts the earth he formed.
Jesus. You're dismissed. Thank you for being